Broadway's Death of a Salesman closes this Sunday. This isn't your grandfather's salesman. When Arthur Miller's play first opened in 1949, it won Tony Awards and a Pulitzer and brought grown men to their knees with the story of Willie Loman, whose sense of self centered on his success as a salesman in the 1930s. When his sales slip and he falls in his son Biff's eyes after Biff witnesses an indiscretion, this white hero loses his grip. Well, in the new production, the whole Loman family, two sons, wife Linda, are black. Willie is played by Wendell Pierce, star of the gripping TV shows The Wire and Tremé. In this scene, he's just groveled before his young boss, Howard, played by white actor Blake DeLong, asking for weekly pay instead of a commission.
That's just the thing.
If I have $40, that's all I need, Howard.
Kid,
$40.
I can't take blood from a stone.
Oh, in the year Al Smith was nominated, your father came to
I've got to see some people,
I'm talking about your father! There were promises made across this desk. You mustn't tell me. You have people to see. I put 34 years into this firm, Howard, and now I can't pay my insurance. You can't eat the orange and throw the peel away. A man is not a piece of fruit.
Not a piece of fruit. Wendell Pierce told us this role isn't validating for black actors. They're all over Broadway this year. But it's different, something he constantly realizes. When I, a white audience member, watched Willie in a moment of dementia, looking out where he built a swing for his boys, his words, "throw a rope up, hang it high," made me gasp. Did you also feel it, throwing up the rope?
Take the rope, sling it around, climb up and take it down. I never thought about that. The idea of a black man then talking about slinging up a rope on a tree, just that phrase conjures up lynching. That's how prevalent it was in this country.
In September, we sat down with Wendell Pierce in New York. What had you seen? Every actor studies those privileged to get to play this role. Who had you seen? What did you think of Willie Loman?
I have seen Lee J. Cobb, the original actor who played the role on Broadway. I saw Brian Dennehy. I saw Philip Seymour Hoffman. I saw the television version of Dustin Hoffman.
And when you were watching, did you think it was possibly a role for you?
I had never considered playing the role. Part of it was just the insecurity of a journeyman actor who I considered myself. And a part of it is something that I share with the character Willie himself. Linda says it, even a small man gets tired like a great man. I feel like I'm a little boat looking for a harbor in my own career. So that was the epiphany for me.
Okay, let's just take a second there. Willie Loman, he's at a point in his life where he feels he hasn't achieved a greatness. You're saying you identified with that. You're aware you're Wendell Pierce, right? From The Wire. Everyone we spoke to had come to see you.
Yes, I'm aware that I am Wendell Pierce. But when you're playing a role like this, especially at my age, there's a reflection, a self-reflection that comes with the work. And I had to consider, are my best days behind me? What have I created when it comes to family and friends and the wealth of spirit? So this was a great challenge and a great gift because it gave me time to sit and reflect and really delve deep into those same considerations that Willie Loman is thinking about, but also learn from the play, because it's a cautionary tale. I didn't want to make the same mistakes Willie makes.
Let's talk about the debate at one time about whether or not there should be not just black Willie Loman, but the black Loman family. You know August Wilson, iconic black playwright, was dead set against it. I'm going to read here. This is to the idea of there being a black Willie Loman. It would be an assault on our, meaning black Americans, presence and our different but honorable history in America. And critics at the time agreed. John Lehrer said to replace a Jewish Willie Loman with an African-American would change something elemental in the play.
To do this as a colorblind Death of a Salesman would be an insult. We're not colorblind in our production. We're color-specific. It says something when I am with, have an infidelity with a white woman in 1932. It says so much about the pressure he's under, that he would risk his life, which is what he does when he has that infidelity, just to get an opportunity to sell his products in that store. That's interpretation. That's to elevate and amplify the play. I am, as any actor, as any artist, coming to do Death of a Salesman. And there was never a debate as whether or not Lee J. Cobb should do it because he was a big man who Arthur Miller didn't want. He wanted a small person. He wrote a shrimp. But he saw Lee J. Cobb, and they said, I loved his talent, and cast him.
Arthur Miller is said to have written this about his uncle, who was a salesman, who was Jewish, and some of the things that happened in Miller's home, these relationships that he writes about.
And that is not unique to a Jewish family.
Right.
There's going to be men who come to this play. There was a black man who stopped me on the street last night and said, thank you, you told my story.
Yes.
I'm Biff. He literally said that to me. He said, I'm Biff. And I said, if you still have your father, call him. There's so many people that come to the play who have never read the play.
Well, and we need to say, race is never mentioned once in the play. These are the exact words of Arthur Miller. But as you just alluded to, the scene with the mistress, you've said you can feel it on the stage, where things that are Arthur Miller's words become different because you are a black family. They take on a different meaning. Can you speak of some of those moments?
The one that comes to mind the most is when the woman is standing there and says, I hope no one sees me in the hall.
This is the white woman, mistress.
The white woman saying to two black men, as she is underdressed, a year after the Scottsboro boys' trial, I hope no one sees me like this in the hall. And that is a unveiled threat. Mr. Loman, you feel a lot more comfortable back here.
The waiter in a restaurant gives him the table in the back.
Yes, the microaggression, the expectation of Howard that I pick up something that falls off his desk.
Howard is the scion of the company that your character works for. Mm-hmm. His father had helped you along, but now this snotty little kid, sorry. And yeah, when he yells at your character, what happens to you?
It's degrading, it's humiliating, it's infuriating, it's enraging. It propels me. It is moments like that are just amplified, knowing that I can't do anything. I think of, in that moment, how at that time you weren't supposed to look a white man in the eye.
You don't. Yeah. You shift your head.
Yes. I'm trying to avoid getting fired, desperately doing everything, and not to rock the boat, not to infuriate him, even though he is humiliating me. We have to remember this is a time where you have to step off the curb for a white person to pass.
Do you feel also amplified, that's a great word for what this does, the notion that Willie Loman cannot accept that he did have success? In your Willie Loman, here's a black man in the 30s, play came out in 49, who owned a home, had a job in what we're presuming is a white company, as the face of the company on the road. Mm-hmm. By any stretch, there's some success there, but he couldn't see it.
Which is the hubris of the play. Willie Loman, a man in pursuit of this materialism, cannot see that he is a wealthy man, a wealth of love, a wealth of family. And he couldn't see that because he was prescribing another barometer by which to judge himself. And that's the lesson, that if he could only take the blinders off and see how wealthy he actually was.
Andre DeShields of Hadestown and Another Planet, plays your deceased brother. And then we have Sharon D. Clarke, the British actress, Linda Loman, stunning.
I don't say he's a great man. Willie Loman never made a lot of money. His name was never in the paper. He's not the finest character that ever lived. But he's a human being. And a terrible thing is happening to him. So attention must be paid. He's not to be allowed to fall into his grave like an old dog. Attention. Attention must be finally paid to such a person.
Does she make you cry?
Absolutely. Sharon D. Clarke is a rock. I say it at the beginning of the play. She is my foundation and my support, on and off stage from the very beginning. And she is emblematic of so many women who have held together families, generations, in spite of all the violent obstacles placed in the lives of black folks. I cannot imagine doing this role without her.
Yeah. Wendell Pierce, you are now a Willie Loman. I mean, you listed them. There's only a few on these great stages, and you are one.
This is not only a high water mark in my career, but is one of the highlights of my life. I take this with me to my dying day. And in the words of Arthur Miller, there's a certain immortality in the theater, not given by books or monuments, but the knowledge an actor takes with him to his dying day that on a certain afternoon in a dusty theater, he cast a shadow of a person that was not himself and uttered an unsung heart song that the common man feels but never utters, he gave voice to. And with that, he joins the ages.
Death of a Salesman star, Wendell Pierce. The Broadway show closes this Sunday. Run, don't walk if you can.